And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw you in my truck, and I'm going to take you with me to Tennessee. Let's go. We're going to Tennessee. All right, wait a minute. Those of you that listened to yesterday's show, you know I've already been to Tennessee. Been there, done that, got all the T-shirts, did all the research, walked all the major towns, walked some of the minor towns, walked some of the little dinky towns, and really had a great time. I was impressed with Tennessee. Now, those of you that are not aware, Tennessee, up until last week, was one of the few states within the United States that I had never set foot in. Never gone to Tennessee, never drove through it, never got to a border state and said, oh, let me just put my foot across the line. Never did any of that stuff. I was of the misconception that Tennessee was kind of a backward state. Yeah, I know. I just said something nasty about a state that I'm really, really growing to be very fond of. But here's why I'm telling you that. It was based off of information that people around me, as I was growing up, told me about other states. Now, I grew up in a place called Las Vegas, Nevada. If you've never been to Las Vegas, Nevada, people from all over the country go to Las Vegas, Nevada. Either they're trying to win at gambling, which doesn't really work, or they go there for employment and a lower cost of living, because when I lived there as a kid, that was the big thing. You would go to Vegas, very low cost of living, low cost of housing. You could have a great entertainment life because you had downtown, you had the Strip, it was all there. All the big major celebrities would come in and perform. So you had entertainment that many parts of the country would have died for. And we had it all in Las Vegas, Nevada. The problem with Las Vegas, Nevada, when you're a kid, is that Las Vegas, Nevada is geared to 21-year-olds and over. That is the legal age for alcohol consumption and also for gambling in the state of Nevada. Once you become 21, you can get as stupid as you want. But until you're 21, they take that stuff really seriously. So growing up in Las Vegas, Nevada, I didn't get the great events or the great experience that many visitors to Las Vegas, Nevada get. Part of the reason was we grew up pretty poor, so we didn't have money to go spend on a bunch of entertainment. We needed to live in a place that had a lower cost of living because, well, at the end of the day, we didn't have enough money to make it to the end of the month. That's just the way our household was. It doesn't mean my parents were bad or anything. It just means that's the way it was, and I can't change it. So why am I bringing up Las Vegas, Nevada? Because growing up there, I had the opportunity to meet people that moved to Las Vegas, Nevada from all over the country. And believe it or not, people have opinions. They have opinions. And those opinions are not always factual. But nonetheless, they are opinions. And one of the things that I learned growing up from other people, whether they lived in Tennessee or they didn't live in Tennessee, was that Tennessee was kind of a backward state. It was kind of like behind the times. It's like people moved there and time forgot them. And I thought in the back of my mind, all right, well, Tennessee, as well as some of the surrounding states, are states that I'm not interested in visiting because, heck, I lived on the West Coast. I was close to a place called California, and we would go to California and have a great time. You got beaches, you got Disneyland, you got Magic Mountain. All the stuff that we didn't have in Las Vegas, Nevada was available to me like a five-hour drive away. So I got to experience what it was like to grow up in California, even though I lived in Las Vegas, Nevada, partially because when I was a teenager, we'd go to California. And then I went to school at the University of Southern California. So I actually moved myself in my Pinto. Yes, I drove a Pinto to the University of Southern California, where I went to school. I earned an Army ROTC scholarship. That's how I paid for college. I started off studying computer science and then realized very quickly that I wasn't, well, I was going to say not smart enough. I don't know if really I wasn't smart enough. Maybe I just wasn't disciplined enough to pursue that career field. So I found myself lagging behind some of my peers and really just not interested in the subject. It was a subject that I thought I wanted to study, but as I started studying it, it wasn't what I thought it was. So I wound up dropping out of computer science and I went to the business school instead. And that's where I spent the remainder 4 years of my college life studying business at the University of Southern California, living in Southern California, where, by the way, I was exposed to a lot of people that came from all over the country to attend school at the University of Southern California. And you know what a lot of these people did? They reinforced the misconceptions that I had about the state of Tennessee. They would tell me, oh, Tennessee's real backwards. Oh, Tennessee's this and Tennessee's that. Or Tennessee's not this and Tennessee's not that. And you know what I did? I just believed them. So let me fast forward to today. One of the things that Tina and I are very interested in doing is we are looking for our next place to live, as well as our next place to invest. Because one of the things that we realized was that we were kind of tying ourselves down to one major metropolitan area for investing opportunities because of where we live. So why Tennessee? Why did Tina and I decide to check out Tennessee? Why not the neighboring states around Texas? Why not Oklahoma? Why not New Mexico? Why not Arkansas? Why not Louisiana? Well, there's some reasons why we didn't choose those locations. And one of the reasons we didn't choose those locations was based off the fact that when we chose Texas as the place to retire to, we had eliminated those states. We had actually eliminated Tennessee based off of misinformation. So one of the things that I started doing was I started doing some market research. I wanted to find out what are the markets doing in the various states. And one of the things that I discovered was that Tennessee, very similar to Texas, is offering great economic opportunity. That's the way I see it. I'm seeing that Tennessee is very closely aligned to Texas with regards to economics. Tennessee is a growing state. It is growing by leaps and bounds. I think I did some research before we left, and I think I read there was something like 7.1 million people in the state, and that number is going up. The other thing that I did was when we had our Expo event. Now, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, Expo is an event that Lifestyles Unlimited, the organization that sponsors this radio show, provides to its members on an annual basis. And when I was at the Expo a couple months ago, I sought out everybody that I could find that lived in Tennessee. And here's why I did it. You get the best information from the people that are living there doing it, as opposed to the people that are living outside of it and making stuff up. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, you know. So I started talking to Tennesseans and I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away. Everything that I learned as a child or a teenager about Tennessee was wrong. Now, okay, let me qualify a couple of things. They still have hills in Tennessee. They still call some of the people that live in those hills hillbillies, but they're not ignorant. They're not stupid. They might have a thick accent, but they're Americans just like you and I. Matter of fact, one of the things I learned about Tennessee while I was out there is that they call the state the volunteer state. Now, I kind of knew that already, but it really didn't sink in until I was there and I was driving by Civil War battlefields. And I was remembering a lot of my military education that I received when I was going to school at the University of Southern California and studying military science as part of my business school curriculum, because I had accepted an Army ROTC scholarship. And that's how I wound up spending 27 years in the United States Army. I learned that Tennessee per capita probably has provided more manpower and woman power to every major conflict that the United States has experienced since the founding of this country. Tennesseans love America. I actually think they love America more than they love being in Tennessee. Now here's why I said that. I live in Texas. I love living in Texas. Don't get me wrong. It's going to take a lot to extract me from Texas. Although Tennessee's doing a pretty good job of selling me on moving there. It really is. But I'm still a Texan. And one of the things that you notice about Texas when you drive around is all the big Texas flags. The Texas flags outnumber the United States flags probably 2 or maybe 3 to 1. That's just how Texas rolls. But when we went to Tennessee and we drove throughout that entire state, and trust me, we drove throughout that entire state. We saw just about everything that could be seen. One of the things that we noticed was that the American flags outnumbered the Tennessee flags. Now, does that mean they're less apt to be for their state's rights than they are for national rights? I don't know. I can't make that assumption. But I do know this. They love America. And people that love America, they're right up my alley. They are. Because guess what? I love America. It's one of the reasons I spent 27 years serving this country in the United States Army. It's because I love this nation. I come from a lineage of people that have served in this country, in the military, in all major conflicts going back to World War I on my father's side. I think the Civil War going back on my mother's side. So you can't help but love this country if you're willing to serve this country, right? And since I come from a lineage of people that served this country and helped protect the way of life that you and I enjoy today, I was all on board with Tennessee and their nationalism. I really am. And here's the other thing I noticed about the people. It didn't matter where we stopped. We may have stopped in Chattanooga, which we did. We may have stopped in Knoxville, which we did. We may have stopped in Bristol, which we did. We may have stopped in Nashville, Clarksville, Memphis, and a bunch of little towns along the way, which we did. And one of the things that I did every time I stopped was I engaged in conversation with whoever I could and asked them how long they lived in Tennessee and asked them what they loved about it. And you know what? Not one person stuttered. They came right out and they said, this is how long I've lived here and this is what I love about it. And you know what they love about Tennessee? Just about everything. They love the trees. They love the natural beauty. They love the waterways. They love the Smoky Mountains. They just love the way of life in Tennessee. It's a little bit different in Tennessee than it is in other parts of the country. And now that I've been there, now that I've experienced it, I know that to be factual information. And here's the other thing that I need to share with you about the people. They are some of the friendliest people you have ever met. Now, it doesn't mean I'm making that assessment based off of talking to people that are supposed to be friendly in their jobs. I talked to people that I thought may not be friendly, and you know what they were? Friendly. I didn't find one angry, miserable person in Tennessee. That speaks volumes. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you some economic analysis of the major cities in Tennessee. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so today by talking about a trip I took through the great state of Tennessee. Now, prior to going to the great state of Tennessee, I had somewhat of a tarnished impression of what Tennessee would be like. But ironically, when I attended our expo event, which we held a couple months ago, Lifestyles Unlimited does these big events that all of our members like to come to, and it's like one-stop shopping for everything that we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. It's an amazing thing. We'll have some scheduled for later on. We'll have one scheduled for later on this year. I don't know if we're going to call it Expo anymore. I think we might be changing the name, but it's going to be the same thing, only on a slightly smaller platform. It's going to be a little more intimate, and it's just going to be a great event. But when I was at the Expo, I was talking to everybody I could talk to from Tennessee. And the one thing that I took away from everybody that I met who lived in Tennessee was that my impressions of Tennessee were wrong. They were wrong. I was getting information from people that live there on a daily basis, and they were setting the record straight. So when I came home from the Expo, and Tina and I started talking, we started talking about, you know, what are we going to do for our multifamily investing? We were looking for our first syndicated deal that we're trying to buy. The market's kind of weird right now. We're not finding the right deals that satisfy our needs for what we're looking to buy. And we're concentrated in the San Antonio metropolitan area. I mean, that's effectively the market we've been searching in. And the reason we are searching in that area is because we live just outside of San Antonio. So I'm trying to stay within an hour and a half of where I live because I intend to self-manage the property and I don't want to kill myself with having a crazy commute, especially since I've been like retired since 2019. So we decided to sell our house and we decided to expand our search. And the one takeaway that I learned about Tennessee was that it's got some great opportunity. It really has some great opportunity. Like Texas, it has great opportunity for single family and multifamily investing. But before I could just accept that, I had to go there. I had to actually walk the terrain. I had to see with my own eyes who was telling me the truth over these years. And the one thing that I found out is that the Lifestyles Unlimited members are the truth sayers. They are. Everything they told me about what I would experience, no matter where I was in Tennessee, spot on. Spot on. So the next thing I had to do is I had to do some market research. I had to determine what the economic overview was of the major towns, the major cities, I should say, because that would give me an impression of not only the primary markets, but I could infer information about the secondary and the tertiary markets to those primary markets based off the information that I garnered. And I garnered a lot of information. The first town we got to in Tennessee was Chattanooga, population 181,000. Job growth is moderate. Growth in technology and manufacturing. And Chattanooga is emerging as a tech hub with initiatives like something called Gig City, which is high-speed internet. Now, the major industries, technology, manufacturing, automotive, they've got a Volkswagen plant there, and tourism. And the city's scenic location boosts the hospitality industry. Cost of living is affordable, with median home prices around $200,000 to $250,000, though rising due to tech-driven growth. Investments in the tech infrastructure and a growing reputation as a boomtown are attracting businesses and residents to Chattanooga. Now, it's not without its challenges. It's a smaller market size, which limits some of its scalability compared to bigger cities like Nashville. And income inequality is a concern as tech growth outpaces other sectors. We all know these tech people make gobs of money, right? I mean, it's just the nature of the tech world. So Chattanooga stayed on our radar. There was nothing that we learned about Chattanooga that said, stay away. Then we went to Knoxville. Population 190,000. Job growth steady but slower than Nashville, with growth in education, healthcare, and the technology sectors. And it has the presence of the University of Tennessee, which drives research and innovation. And by the way, everybody up there seems to wear orange. I'm still trying to figure that out. Yeah, it's got to do with the University of Tennessee. All right, major industries, education, healthcare, retail, and advanced manufacturing. The Oak Ridge National Laboratory nearby supports tech and research jobs. Cost of living is moderate, with housing costs lower than Nashville, but higher than Memphis, with a median home price around $250,000 to $300,000. Strong academic and research presence stimulates the economy, with a stable economy bolstered by the university and government facilities. Not without its challenges, there are limited corporate presence compared to Nashville or Memphis, which can restrict high-paying job opportunities. But that doesn't impact me as a real estate investor, because I'm not looking to rent to people that make gobs and gobs of money. I'm looking to rent to people that are making, you know, a household income of, say, $50,000 to $75,000 per year. From Knoxville, we traveled up to the Tri-Cities region. That's three little towns that make up the Tri-Cities: Bristol, Johnson City, and Kingsport. Johnson City is the biggest of the three, with 133,000 people. Kingsport is next with 61,000 people, and Bristol is third with 46,000 people. Job growth is a little slower, with net job declines. In the smaller MSAs, such as the Tri-Cities, particularly in traditional industries. So that's something you got to pay attention to if you're interested in going to the Tri-Cities area. There is slower job growth, but there is job growth nonetheless. It's just not as aggressive as other parts of the state. Major industries include healthcare, education, retail, and manufacturing, and the region is known for its medical facilities and East Tennessee State University. Cost of living is among the lowest in Tennessee, with median home prices between $150,000 and $200,000. Affordability is a key draw to the area. The economic strength is its low cost of living and a tight-knit community that appeals to retirees, which technically I am, and families, which technically I have, but right now we're empty nesters. But the region's natural beauty, and trust me, that natural beauty up there supports tourism. A lot of people go up there just to see what I had the opportunity to see. Some economic stagnation in some sectors, with limited high-tech or corporate growth compared to Chattanooga or Nashville. But definitely a town that made it on our radar. After we had toured the entire eastern part of the state, it was time for us to move to the central part of the state. We wanted to go check out the largest city in Tennessee. A little town, well, it's not really a little town anymore. It's a city called Nashville. So let me tell you about Nashville. First of all, it's got 689,000 people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Not as big as some of the bigger cities that we have in like a place called Texas, where you've got like 4 million people in Houston. You've got like, I don't know, 5 million people in Dallas. I'm making those numbers up, by the way. I didn't do the research. I'm just going off of what I think I saw. But just know this. Texas major metropolitan cities are huge. Nashville, it's 689,000. Not so huge. It's not so huge. But it is the major metropolitan statistical area in the state of Tennessee. And get this, it saw a robust 6.6% job growth from 2022 to 2023. Now, I don't have any more current data that I could find, but that's pretty good job growth. And it was driven by its status as a hub for healthcare, music — it is Nashville after all — and tourism. Major industries, healthcare, music, entertainment, finance, technology. I mean, Nashville is a magnet for startups and corporate headquarters. The cost of living is higher than the state average, with housing costs escalating due to a rapid population growth and demand. Median home prices are among the highest in Tennessee, often exceeding $400,000. The economic strengths are Nashville's diverse economy and cultural appeal that attracts young professionals as well as tourists. Its infrastructure supports large-scale events, which boosts local business revenue. It's not without its challenges. They're experiencing rising costs. Now, why does that matter? Well, rising costs could cause lower-income residents to be priced out of the market. And the infrastructure strain from the population growth is creating traffic and housing challenges. We got to experience traffic in Nashville, and it wasn't pretty. It was a little better in some of the Texas major metropolitan areas, but it wasn't much better. Just so you know, we got an opportunity to drive down Broadway and check out the heart of Nashville. And it was amazing. It was just amazing. I lived in Vegas, and driving down Broadway in Nashville was a totally different vibe, and it was really cool. So we really liked it. And then from there, we went over to a little town to the northwest of Nashville called Clarksville. Now, it's a smaller town, about 166,000 people, about the same size as Chattanooga, has a 4% job growth driven by military and education sectors. Now, the reason it's driven by military is because Fort Campbell is right there, and that's the home of the 101st Airborne Division, the Screaming Eagles, which I served with while I spent some time in the military. It also has, going back to Clarksville, not my time in the military, it also has Austin Peay State University and manufacturing that support the industries of Clarksville. The military base significantly influences the local economy because that is definitely a base that the government pours money into. Cost of living, very affordable, with median home prices around $200,000. And Clarksville is noted for its low cost of living and great amenities. And I will tell you this, it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Now, the economic strengths are clearly Fort Campbell, because it provides economic stability through consistent job opportunities and federal funding. And the city itself ranks high in economic freedom metrics. Not without its challenges, though. A heavy reliance on the military can limit diversification. And social factors like lead exposure risk and poverty rates, which are around 15%, pose challenges. Now, the final town that we drove through was the town of Memphis. Memphis, all the way down in the southwest corner of Tennessee, right along the Mississippi River. Population, second largest in Tennessee at 633,000 people. Job growth is moderate, with logistics and manufacturing driving employment. Memphis is a global logistics hub due to FedEx's headquarters and the Port of Memphis. Major industries include logistics, healthcare, manufacturing, and agribusiness. The city is a key distribution center in the United States of America. Cost of living is among the lowest in Tennessee's major cities, with affordable housing right around $150,000 to $200,000 and lower overall expenses. Economic strengths for Memphis include its strategic location along the Mississippi River and strong transportation infrastructure support trade and logistics. Affordable living attracts residents to the area. Not without its challenges, though. There's a higher poverty rate. About 20% of children are in poverty in the town of Memphis. And crime rates, compared to other Tennessee cities, are higher. The economic growth of Memphis lags behind Nashville. So, where do Tina and I have our eyes on? What are we looking at based off of what we had the opportunity to see in Tennessee, and all the economic research that I've completed? Where would Tina and I wind up going? Some of you would think, well, it's wherever you're going to find your next house, right? And here's the funny thing. While we were looking around at the different towns and studying the different towns, we were studying places to live. We were looking at what could accommodate our quality of life in these different metropolitan areas, should we decide to live in these different metropolitan areas or just outside of these metropolitan areas. And you know what we found? We found a lot of good opportunity. We found a lot of properties that would work for us to live in. But that's not our primary reason for potentially moving there. Our primary reason for potentially moving there is the economics. It's what we can accomplish as real estate investors. Now, if you listen to the economic data that I shared with you over the last segment and this segment, you heard that some major metropolitan areas are a little better than others. You heard that, right? You heard that Nashville is the most growing city, best economics in the state, right? But it has a lot of challenges too. Challenges that maybe the smaller towns of Knoxville and Chattanooga don't experience. And although the towns of Chattanooga and Knoxville experience some challenges, they're not really that significant. I don't think they are. I believe the growth rate is fine. I believe that the economic indicators for my potential renters are perfect. I was looking at properties that could be rented out in many of these major markets. And on the single family side, what I found was opportunity to capture a lot of equity and opportunity for cash flow. The two things that I'm most interested in doing if I'm investing in single family. I found opportunities in all of those markets to do just that. How much money do my renters need to make in order to qualify for my rents? Well, I noticed that the average rental price, now this is not scientific or anything. This is just kind of a swag, a silly, wild, pick your favorite A word guess. And I think it's about $1,500. So if somebody is paying $1,500 per month in rent, how much do they need to make as far as income? Well, you take the $1,500 and you multiply it by three, because I want to make sure that my residents are making three times what I'm charging them for rent, because I know that equation works well as far as them being able to afford the housing that they've gone into contract for. Does that make sense? So when you multiply it by three, you come up with $4,500 per month. When you annualize that, in other words, you multiply it by 12, that gets you to an annual income of $54,000. Are there jobs in these major metropolitan areas that pay $54,000 per year to the employee? And the short answer is yes. Oh, and by the way, that $54,000 per year is what I need for household income. So if you have a married couple living in my property and they're both making a combined income of about $54,000, then they're going to qualify for my $1,500 a month rent. And I'm probably not going to be worried about whether or not they can pay, because they have enough income coming into their household to afford the rent. So here's the big challenge Tina and I have. Where do we go? Where exactly do we go? Well, we're still trying to figure that out, because we still like Texas a whole bunch. But Tennessee, it made an impression on us. It made an impression on us, not only for a place to live, but for a place to invest. You want to do what I'm doing? You want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Sign up for that free workshop. Let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.